Blog Talk Radio.
Bravo, bravo. This is Friday night with Liquid Damage at a team of voices welcoming you. come on in and read some poetry and we'll have some fun. Right now I'm here by myself. Oh, wait, I have an 856 who's calling.
It's Deborah Lee.
Deb. Hi, Deb.
Hello, dear heart.
What's up? How are you tonight?
I'm hanging in there. How are you?
I'm doing okay. You know, hanging in, just like everybody else. Soaking up the rainy weather here in Alaska.
we've had, like, we're just coming out of our eighth heat wave. And it's been dry as far as ground, but humid. It's like tonight is actually kind of cool. It's 69 degrees, so it's like.
Oh, wow.
That feels like a cold front. That's as bad as it's been.
Yeah.
But, I heard a rumor that Mr. Wayne Dent is battling the flu, so I just wanted to shout out, hurry up and feel better, Wayne. We miss you.
Oh, yeah, I tried to send him an invite, but when I pushed search, it didn't come up with his name. I mean, it came up with his name, but it didn't come up with, you can send him a message, you know? So I couldn't send him a message. But if that's the case, feel better, Wayne. Yeah. So, hey, what do you call a sad cup of coffee?
I give up.
Presso.
Oh, my goodness.
I got 100 of them. Yeah, I had some knock-knock jokes, but at first there was nobody here to share them with, and then you showed up. But, knock-knock.
Who's there?
Gladys.
Gladys who?
Gladys the Weeknd. Party time.
There you go. Party!
They just get better and better. So anyway, should we start out with some poetry or chat some more?
Well, I'll tell you what. My phone will last almost an hour, so I thought sometimes towards the end of the summer that the shows slow down a bit while everybody's trying to squeeze in some last-minute outdoor stuff, plus when it's cool for a change. So I thought maybe you might be able to fit your show into 1 hour. Do you think?
Yeah, because there's not a lot of people showing up, and most of it's SoundClouds. We can start out with a SoundCloud from Frank. See if I can do this. SoundCloud from Frank. Let me put this up on the board. Uh-oh, what happened to a team of voices? Oh, no. There we go. Okay, there, it's on the board now. And, uh-oh. What happened to my Blog Talk Radio? Dang. I'm getting it.
I like that you do the updates. Like, okay, I know. I'm getting it. I do the same thing. The dead air space drives me nuts, so then I start babbling on and on.
I know. I forget to... okay, here we go, Frank. This is a SoundCloud from Frank.
You dance like a silhouette in the bosom of rows of cherry blossoms, singing to their falling petals, a sweet serenade of ancient mysticism. When the gentle breeze caresses the tip of their fragile cranberry lobes, as I smell the floral perfume of its oil exuded upon the softness of your skin. Your fingers are like the artistic brush to a colorful canvas of oriental calligraphy with the symphonic sounds of the warbler's echo musical harmonies. awakening the dormant trees of a new season and the bountiful boughs. With the wet splash of the puddles from the matinal dew, the amber ruffles of your dress are covered with the sparkles of pink. Your raven hair flows like the long locks of natural silk. A tangerine glow of the twilight reflects the purity of your beauty. As you dance with the brazen spirits of the springtime, you become one with nature, transforming into the guise of a cherry blossom. A thousand petals unfold slowly like an animated origami, when they shall sleep under the mystic shade of the night. With the bank of the river shall be full of unfolded flowers. I'll find you there, my Sakura. I'll find you there, my Sakura.
Well,
in the boom.
Wow, that was absolutely lovely, Frank. He kind of created a fine atmosphere of love and adoring with great personification of the cherry blossom. I just love that. And the origami, oh my God, what a beautiful emotion that brings forth. I used to do origami, and the beauty of the paper folding is just so wonderful and brings out such great feelings of love when you see what you've folded and what they can do. But he's created a perfect couplets, each one telling a complete love story. I want to thank you, Frank, for sharing this tonight. It was very beautiful. And thank you for bringing it to my show. So, Deb, what did you think?
Yeah, I thought there was a tranquilness to it as he read. And I like the couplets, too, how they're each little snippet of events, like the amber ruffles of your dress, are covered with a sparkle, with the sparkles of pink. The visuals throughout, the tangerine glow of the twilight reflects the purity of your beauty. And then that ending, I really, really like the last two couplets. Whence the bank of the river shall be full of unfolded flowers, I'll find you there. I loved the thought of I'll find you there. I think that he did a really great job with this. And I just lost my train of thought. I hate when that happens.
Oh, I get that all the time.
Yeah, right? I know. I do too. And I see it's an award winner. Congrats on the award. But a very, very pretty piece all the way through. Oh, I know what I was going to say. Well, duh. I also noticed, like, how much more he and most of the people that are hanging out at the team are using much more color in their writes, and I love it.
Yeah.
Great share.
Who started that?
I don't know.
I don't know. Anyway, 614, who's calling?
Well, that would be me, Linda, but I am actually in 6-4 country, not 6-1 country. I am in New Zealand.
Oh, how nice. That's what it was, the pictures you were showing?
Yes. That was
very
that was
beautiful.
The lake to land at the airport here in Queenstown a little bit earlier today. And I am now appropriately slumming it, as I said to Deb, in my room. And,
very cool.
When I get my charge, because I just hit my room, I will show you the view from my little location.
Well, to which I replied, slumming it. That's a view to die for. Just saying.
I am slumming it, Linda. You know, I mean, I'm just saying, you know, some people just, you know, that it's just one of those things, you know. Don't think that I'm spending a lot of money here, Linda. I just sort of got a few shekels together and found a caravan by the side of the lake, as you do. So, you know, that's where I'm sticking to. Exactly right, Deb. Exactly right. So, you know, this room would, you know, African countries' GDP for the year, but that's okay. You know, you don't go off on holiday often. Well, I don't anyway. And if you do, you might as well make it good, Deb. As they say on the classics.
This is true.
Wow.
So,
neato.
So, here we go. You ready, Linda? I've got the picture.
Mm-hmm.
I've got it
on
my phone. It's just keep on getting stuff coming through from the mobile phone companies telling me that I'm now roaming and that, you know, that they're loving the fact that I'm spending more money with them. So very, very shortly, this will appear, I think, and it will show you the view out of my balcony.
Right on.
In the lovely place that I am here in Queenstown. So anyway, so that'll happen shortly. Just telecommunications have obviously decided to take a break. But apart from that, that's okay. I'm having lunch. So, now, are we on open poetry, Linda?
What's that?
Are we on open poetry?
Yeah, we are. Welcome to the show.
Aha. Thank you.
Did you bring us something to listen to?
Well, I'm having a look as we speak. Linda, what sort of poem would you like? Well, I'll put it back to yourself.
What sort of poem would I like? Something funny.
Oh, you want funny? Okay, righto. Okay. I might have to dig back into the archives because I'm highly impressed to do funny poems, and oftentimes but that's okay. Bear with me.
Yeah.
You accept the task, and I will go back and I will find one. Just give me 2 minutes. Okay, I've got it. I will put it up on the board. And
great.
You know, it's who knows whether this will work or not, but you know, humor is a very individual thing. So it could work or it could not work. Let's see. This is, you've heard this before, Jeff. This is.
Okay, I'm not seeing it.
There was once.
Oh, there it is. Oh, where'd it go?
There was once a chicken and a duck. Yes? There was once a chicken and a duck. And it goes a little bit like this. There was once a duck that was speaking to a chicken as they sat in a tree. You know, they have planted onion and potato down there, said the chicken. Really, said the duck. Well, I never. Just last week they harvested cucumber. I have been busy. It is the late summer humidity we are having. Yes, well, I wish it would stop. Already I'm getting feather rot in uncomfortable places. Don't worry about that, chimed the Rhode Island Red. The inclement weather will clear soon enough with the rains. Did you hear they are talking about pulling up this grove of orange trees we are roosting in? No, really. Now, that would be a disaster. How would we see the horizon of the day ahead? I agree, said the bird, beak curling and extending with the sound. Clouds began jostling ominously in the skies above as they sat watching. You know, I recall my duck mother told me once to avoid trees during storms. Oh, don't worry. Those clouds cannot hit an elephant at that. Suddenly, there was an enormous shudder, as their tree was cleaved in half, direct hit by lightning, splitting its trunk and charring all nearby. While the moral of this story is clear, don't be chicken to listen when next to a peeking duck.
Delightful, delightful, very nice. What a great job you did on this AP. I just love the conversation between a duck and a chicken. I mean, it's funny in itself, but and then the conversation gets funny because it's kind of mundane, and it's a duck talking to a chicken talking to a duck, and the duck is kind of replying, but at the end, I love it. The story is clear. Don't be chicken to listen when next to a Peking duck. Very cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, what did you think? Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, aside from my comment on the poem, I think it's cool that you chose that one, AP, because a lot of Linda's poems end with a moral of her story, so it was very clever. But I'll read what I wrote the first time. It says, LMAO, how can you ever eat duck again without thinking of this poem now? And who else in the world would write a poem about this picture and turn it into a cartoon about roast chicken? Crazy people in Kentucky, just saying. I can just imagine you thinking about this poem. Do you eat duck?
I do. I quite like duck, actually, Deb.
Yeah. Believe it or not, I've never tried it because everybody says it's tough and greasy. And I'm surprised I like grease.
No, they're wrong. If you have some Peking duck, which is, you know, little pancakes and pieces of duck and shallots and some cucumber with the sauce on it, which happens to be orange, then it's actually very pleasant. And so that's where all the oranges and the cucumbers and the onions were going, Linda, by the way. There was a purpose for that.
Well, you see, my problem is, like, if I'm out and it's time to order something, I can't bring myself to order something I haven't tried because I'm not very good at eating something I don't like, and I hate wasting money. I always have.
So if I'm not with
someone who's having it, I'll never get to taste it. If that makes any sense whatsoever. It's one of those things that I've never been with someone who ordered it. So I never got to taste it.
It just means that we've got to go somewhere and have duck. Linda, I put my view on the board from my hotel room.
Oh, come on.
Can't ask for much more blue than that.
You know what? I'm such an idiot. I've been sitting here talking on the phone when my headset's right here. I just went to put the picture down, and I said, I only got one hand. Oh, my God. That is so gorgeous. That is absolutely beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Beautiful. And that's New Zealand?
It is. That is Queenstown, New Zealand.
Queenstown.
And so I, as I said, and yeah, in a somewhat six-star hotel, having a break in Queenstown for a couple of days. As you do.
Right on. That sounds lovely. Right on.
So,
that's what I'm up to, Linda. I don't go out and spoil myself too often, but I have to admit that I have done it this time.
Cool.
No argument here.
That's beautiful.
So
okay,
you get the idea of the sort of internal stuff with the sort of mountains out the back, you know. So it's a brand new, lovely boutique hotel.
Cool.
I say it's about time you did it anyway.
That's right. There you go. And that's called the Remarkables, that mountain range. It's called the Remarkables. The lake in front of it is called a Lake Wakitakun.
Cool. Well, nice little area.
Nice place.
Awesome.
Right on. Okay. Well, I thought we'd pop on a poem.
Good idea.
And I think we need to hear from Gerald. And I think you can see him on the board.
Can do.
Sunday Love Affair, written and read by Gerald Green. The golf course rests among the hills, pampered daily for effect, jeweled with colored beds in summer's light. In silence she waits. I look at her with lust and pride, prepared to conquer with finesse, while sharp spiked shoes exert authority on tender skin. I will dominate. Her body undulates in softness, never showing rocks or deep ravines, but wanting to be touched and used. In beauty she waits. My eyes take in the first fairway, a sloping path, inviting me to taste its sweetness, leading to a treasure tucked among the trees. Each green is trimmed before the dew is dry. Cups are moved by skilled and practiced hands. Flags wave gently in the breeze. In solitude she waits. I strike the ball and watch it fly where many before have played, and see it bounce and roll amidst her wide embrace and come to rest. My heart responds. She leads me with ascendant hands, forcing me to follow her commands, where pleasure peaks with each caress in eagerness. She waits.
Wow. Beautifully written with a strong metaphoric base. He also nailed the personification, which lives so well. The lines are so well written up here. I look at her with lust and pride, prepared to conquer with finesse, while sharp spiked shoes exert authority, no tender skin, I will dominate. Her body undulates in softness, never showing rocks or deep ravines, but wanting to be touched and used. In beauty she waits. It's just so well done. I'm kind of at a loss for words right now. The way he did that, where he's talking about the golf course, but he's speaking of it as a woman, is just really cool. So, Gerald, I want to thank you for coming by and sharing this. It's very much appreciated that you support the show. Thank you very much, and I'll get you a comment from AP.
Well, I like all stanzas, but I've got to say, I actually really like that each green is trimmed before the dew is dry and cups are moved by skilled and practiced hands. I'm going to go a long way to find two better golfing analogies than those two lines.
Right. Good comment. Good comment. And Deb, what did you think?
You know, I think that there was so much cleverness to the tone in his voice that added to the sensual feel. And who would have thought, I mean, I've written some sensual poems about many, many subjects, but never to the tone of the golf thing that he has going, where he uses the words like the fairway and undulates in softness, never showing rocks or deep ravines. It's like all out genuine adoration for this game of golf and for the grass that he's walking on and the she leads me with the ascendant's hands, forcing me to follow her commands, where pleasure peaks with each caress and eagerness she waits. I'm like, whoa, I mean, this, I got a kick out of the sensual undertones. You never know what to expect from Gerald, but it's always awesome when you hear him read.
Right, and he really loves golf. Good comment, Deb. Okay. Let's see. So I guess we'll come up with, hey, where'd I go? There we go. How about some Titus? Titus is always a wonderful person to listen to. So let me stick him up on the board.
I'm always impressed with all the voices from around the world that go on around here. Great writers and readers.
Yeah. Okay, it's on the board. Let me start his SoundCloud. Yeah, there's Titus. And this is Titus.
The eighth most wonderful sight. Canyons collide to half long distance love. Now braided with mountains, a rainbow above, making ours the eighth most wonderful sight. To exceed the Taj Mahal, for her beauty might be unfounded, while the Shah Jahan does rely on whose envy isn't diamonds, but the sky. The rivers serve as mirrors for the amusement of lovemaking. Taking every breath, the ascent, the lake bestows the comfort of an idyllic land. Onyx and ivory white, her purity is as grand a moonlight I have seen upon that horizon, pointing at the edges of what might we upon sit. Like Greek gods, she matches any wonder why the path to your heart may put asunder. Constellations are put to good cause, for hours our stars have been plucked. The small hours, it would mean feather light or beauty sleep. Under starlight, a throw is hoisted, don't peek. Rumor I take it north of where I first wept. In Masuri, an angel, the secret I have kept.
Wow. Titus, his writing is tear-worthy, bringing them to my eyes each time I hear him read. What an absolutely beautiful story he has written, and the truth shines through. The love that he holds in his heart is strong, and he displays it in such a tender way. Hallelujah, that was beautiful. Thank you for sharing, Titus. It really means a lot to me that you bring your beautiful poetry to my show. I thank you a lot. And with that, I'll get a comment for you from Deb. Deb, what did you think?
Well, for starters, it doesn't really matter when he sends or what he sends. It's always, always, always a joy to hear him read, whether it's upbeat or deep abiding love or reflective, no matter what. He has great pronunciation. And in this particular case, I remember this poem, and I'm just going to read what I wrote. I said, "Tony, you are a word bank master for sure. I'm always impressed with the way you can write such amazing poetry on its own, but when you incorporate word banks and come up with excellent writes like this, it's jealous worthy. Thank you for writing from..." Anyway, it's just, I don't know, I'm sure I've said it enough times that people know it now, but he's somebody that when I go to a contest, if it's for word banks and I see him there, I don't enter because, you know, like he can really, him and Alf really, really spin word bank words into masterpieces, and this is one of those examples.
Yeah, good comment. Yeah, Titus just has a way of bringing out such love and adornment in his poetry. I really appreciate that he showed up tonight with the piece. Next, I think we'll do a piece from Soul.
And AP's back.
Oh, good.
Hi, Linda.
Hi, AP. That's okay. Okay, here's a piece from Soul.
Let me rest. No more in pieces, a poem by Laughing Soul. I never wanted to climb the Everest or even hike a feat for God's sake. All I wanted to do was sit at the feet of the majestic Himalaya at a swanky cafe and enjoy a steamy thukpa. It was you who saw a Sherpa in me or a Yeti. It was you who wanted me to be a warrior instead of a soul carefree. It was you who tried feeding me burning coals whilst I kept exhaling love every season, every damn season, blistered and cold. I never wanted to clean dirty laundry or be that model you fantasize seeing me. All I wanted was to have stretch marks, a gift of motherhood, a gift of womanhood. All I wanted was to cook for you and be your doll. But it was you who thought I was some trophy, a piece of art snatched from the world to be flaunted with pride. Yes, yes, I was priceless, a treasure to be cherished for life, not till my body didn't show up its wrinkles and folds. I was not someone you'd abuse because you no more saw in me the once sparkling gold. I kept washing the dirty laundry of your godforsaken words, those daggers that so bluntly pierced. I kept forgiving and forgiving, and even would start my day forgetting the bruises of last night on my soul. But you forgot how to repair those loose ends. You forgot the art of kintsugi. You forgot that cracks can be mended with love. And I then forgot to forgive, for I remembered I was priceless. I am still stuck maybe in a cracked mirror of that cafe or in an unhinged cradle of the past. But I now plead to you with a sore heart. Let me rest my fallen petals in the broken vase till dusk comes calling. Let me rest now in peace, not no more in peace. End quote.
she does it to me every time. It's so sad what we will go through to capture the love that we adore. Sometimes time after time, we let ourselves be abused until it's just one day it's enough. But, it's about forgiving all the pain just for a moment of love and recognition. This is an exceptionally heartfelt piece with strong metaphoric base, nicely compiled and written by my love soul, who never fails to impress me with her charming way of reading and her lovely, lovely poems. Deb, what did you think?
Well, I noticed for one, normally when I listen to her read, she's got this tranquil thing going and she lulls me in. This time she put some attitude in her words, and she just oozed emotions all over and put herself out there. And you could feel some of the stuff she was going through, and some of her pain and some of her wishes, and it was just like it was heady emotions that were there. And then you look at the fact that it's on several lists, and it's won a half a dozen awards, and it's been chosen for the front page, and you think, wow, everybody was overwhelmed by the emotions, and it shows in everything I just listed. And she's got, gold, honorable mentions, bronze. So really awesome share.
Wow. Yeah, she's amazing. She does so much stuff. It's just incredible that she can write so much. So next I thought for a treat we would hear from Deb before she has to go.
I am trying to figure out what it is that AP's having for lunch there on that plate. Some healthy fruit.
Did you want to go now, Deb, or did you want to wait?
Oh, it's fine. You got what? Mine, yours, and one other? So it's all good. Mine is called "You're the Only Light I Ever Saw." And the prompt was a John Mayer song, "Slow Dancing in a Burning Room." Specifically, here we go. Okay, "You're the Only Light I Ever Saw" is one of the lines from that song. Wrapped in the chills and masked by darkness, legs stumble and elbows bump the stucco wall. But you reach out, then you catch me as arms touch me just before the fall. Now heat blazes as two gazes lock. With days and the nights just a blur, we burn not hot like flames sulfuring on the fire till shoulders turn cold and they freeze over. The frozen walls cracked and shards crumble, leaving ice shavings like breadcrumb trails. And as my eyes weep, you just stare. And the voice inside my skull wails. The voice ices the blood again, too. Frostbiting magnetism as feet drag. From the fingernails scratching chalkboard noises whispering, just wave the white flag. You're still the only light my eyes ever saw. But the darkness is back and the fire's died. No fuel can detonate the heat sparks or light up the dark that I spied. No slow dancing in a burning room if the flames fizzle to ash and dust. As the dancers stomp the dust into the path and teardrop trails freeze dry the salted crust. And boom.
Wow, beautiful, beautiful, really awesome, Deb. That was so full of emotion and spice. Your sadness seeps in between sensuous memories and the cracks that captured love between two. Then the frost comes in and cools the hotness of your dance with lines like, the frozen walls crack, then shards crumble, and then you have the frozen walls crack, and then shards crumble, leaving ice shavings like breadcrumb trails. And as my eyes weep, you just stare. Then the voice inside my skull wails. Really beautiful and very sad. But I want to thank you for sharing this piece. I want to thank you for coming and hanging out with me and supporting my show, Deb. So thank you. And I'd give
absolutely
you some more comments.
Yeah, I had never heard the song before. So, you know, it was the first time I listened to it.
Really?
That's what it yelled. But on a side note, Hatter's here.
Oh, right on. Hi, Hatter.
Hi. Hi, guys. I didn't know your show was early. I apologize for not being here.
Oh, that's okay. You made it.
Yeah.
How's it going, Hatter?
It's still hot in California. I can't wait till winter.
Yeah. Yeah, we're supposed to be making a trip down there soon.
What part?
Probably waiting until winter as well. So,
what part of California are you going?
Knock, knock.
Southern California. Who's there?
I.E. Mop.
I eat my poo.
Who, you eat your poo?
Ooh,
gotcha. Let me see.
You're a psycho.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Who's there?
Who's there?
Wooden shoe.
Wooden shoe.
Wouldn't you like to hear another joke?
No.
Yes.
Let me see. What do you call an acid with an attitude?
A what?
An acid, A-C-I-D?
Acid. Yeah, an with
acid.
An attitude.
Spice?
Amino acid.
Amino.
Amino.
Nice.
Hatter, are you logged into all poetry? Sorry, Linda.
Am I what? Am I what?
Are you logged into all poetry?
Yes, I am.
Look on the chat wall. Scroll back at the amazing pictures that AP shared where he's at. And check your email.
Yeah, I know. Okay, I will. What's for dinner? Lunch.
That's lunch. Yeah. It's lunch.
Lunch.
Light lunch. The lunch.
What is it?
Sorry. What is it?
Looks like.
Yeah,
deep
really
fried
beautiful.
Well, on the right-hand side, yeah, there's the crumbed calamari. And it's
and that's
just with a little mayonnaise or with the little dip with a bit of chili and onion. So that's the plate with the crumb-looking things. And on the other is like a ploughman's lunch. And there's grapes, obviously, and some biscuits of different types and some toast. And then there's some relish, and then there's shaved pastrami and another dark meat. I don't even know which that is actually, but it's very, very nice. And it's sort of a plate, really.
Cool.
Looks like a screwdriver.
So you're just being pampered every way.
I'm pampering myself, Linda. Yes. Yes.
Wow.
This is an official.
Yeah, that looks yummy.
It is bloody nice, actually, I've got to say. Very good. I've had
right.
most of the calamari. Anyway, I should talk about Deb's poem. because that's, we're actually here to talk about poetry. I actually, I just like the way this poem built. And, you know, there were chills, but there were cracks. And, you know, there was ice and there were flags. And but there's light and darkness and there's hope. And while there's still light and slow dancing, there's still hope. And I'm going with the hope, okay?
Always go with the hope. Thanks.
Good comment. Okay, Hatter, did you hear Debs?
I'm sorry?
Did you get to hear Debs' poem?
Just the end of it. I'm reading it now.
Oh, okay.
Looks a little different than Deb. Frozen Heart.
Yeah. So what do you call a dinosaur with an extensive vocabulary?
I don't know. A thesaurus.
A
thesaurus. Right.
Oh, I was right. Okay, cool.
Okay. As soon as you're ready, Hatter.
I'm sorry?
Oh, I said as soon as you're ready, you want to go ahead and comment, and then we'll hear from Shelley.
Well, this is obviously the picture prompt. You wrote to the picture, right?
Actually, it's a song, Hatter. It's a John Mayer song that I had heard for the first time. And I picked up, I went down the picture myself to set the tone it went with what I felt from the song.
I wish I had heard the song. It's very descriptive.
After the show, push play in the author's notes.
Okay. Those are all correct. All the words inside my skull wails. The rhyming. She's a rhymer. I like
where
it. Where
the hell
like
is the song?
Slow dancing. No slow dancing in a burning room. Where have I heard that? That is a. I entered a contest with that. Because you can't slow dance in a burning room. Is that a quote from somebody?
That's what this is, yeah. The contest is still open right now.
Oh. Bong bong. I think I'm in it. I believe I'm in it.
Me too.
I wrote it. Dancing in a burning room, yeah. In fact, let me see. I know. I entered that. I saw dancing in a burning room.
You are. It says, I closed my eyes, so see. Why don't you read that one for Linda?
Okay. We'll do.
I'm putting it on your board, Linda.
Where are we going?
Hatter entered the same contest that I entered for the poem I just read you.
Okay.
He's going to read you his. And then we'll do Shelley and yours, if that's cool.
Okay, yeah.
Hey, I closed my eyes so I won't see. I wonder when it all burned down, ashes where it once was. Missing was the heartbeat sound. No longer do I believe in love. I took a thought that wandered by under a crescent moon. Closed my eyes so I won't see slow dancing in a burning room.
Wow. That's precious. patter. I really like that. It was strong and loving at the same time, but I just love how you put. I wondered when it all burned down, ashes where it once was, missing with a heartbeat sound. No longer do I believe in love. That's so sad. And then you follow it up by, I took a thought that wandered by under a crescent moon. I closed my eyes so I won't see, so dancing in a burning room. Such strong lines here. I want to thank you for bringing this and sharing it with us. It's cool that you guys are in the same contest and your poems, yeah, very different, have a lot of similarities, but I really love this piece. I always, you're such a good rhymer, and I'm always searching for words that rhyme with love, and I don't think I've ever come up with was. So thank you. But good job, and I want to thank you for supporting my show. Deb.
Yeah, my first reaction would be the Marshmallow Poet strikes again. But how are those last two lines? I closed my eyes so I won't see slow dancing in a burning room. It was like, wow. And here you've got eight lines, and you just hit with just as much emotion as I did in all the ones I put out there. So, wow.
Thank you. Thank you, Deb. Easy. Yeah. Every contest I've ever been with you, you've kicked my butt.
I doubt that.
Right on. Okay. Well, let's see. We have Shelly on the board. How come my computer's not working? My computer just froze.
That's not a concern.
Did you want me to push play?
Yeah, could you?
I sure can. Here we go.
Only sometimes. Sometimes I wish I could write in the dark, you know, where the nightmares are born. Sometimes I wish I could extinguish the spark and reveal to you the masks I've worn. Sometimes I wish I could relive the emotion that consumed me in my darkest hour. Sometimes I wish I could relive the commotion and show you I was but a dying flower. Sometimes I wish I could show you the light didn't always radiate from my soul. It was there if I looked deep in the night. Only now do I see that I am whole. End poem.
Beautiful. Brilliant. The rhyme and meter of this flowed like a river, quite strong and with a godly spark. This is a soul-driven piece that comes from the heart and pushes the emotion forward. This was just beautiful. Keep on writing, Shelley. I want to thank you for sharing and supporting my show. That was absolutely beautiful. Deb, what did you think?
Well, I thought it was an awesome brevity, but in this one, I really think that each sometimes drives it. It's like a hit. Sometimes I wish, and each thing it is more. But the beginning, I wish I could write in the dark, you know, where the nightmares are born. I never thought about it that way, but where the nightmares are born. And then each example, where was that? Sometimes I wish I could relieve the commotion, show you I was but a dying flower. There's a lot of different emotion in here, but like I said, there's something about the repeat of sometimes that really drives the right, great brevity.
Yeah, beautiful piece. Hatter, what did you think?
You know, when she finished the first stanza up there, from Sometimes I Wish I Could Write in the Dark, all the way to And Reveal to You the Mask I've Worn, I had goosebumps set up because it was just perfect, perfectly said, and I knew it was going to be get better after. This is Shelley A.B. I think I commented on the first time I read it, her rhyming. She does it very well. Cadence is spot on. When it flows like that, you don't even know it's rhyming. It just sort of, it's an extra treat. You can start listening to what she's saying instead of trying to wait for that rhyming. Nothing's forced. And only now to see that I am whole. Great ending, too.
Right on. Good comment. Did AP leave? Is that what I'm seeing here?
I don't think so.
No, there you are. It says you left.
I'm here.
But I guess that was from before.
No, well, I did, but I came back.
Okay, AP.
I did, but I came back.
AP, what did you think?
I like this poem. I like it. Again, I radiate towards positive optimism and statements that are strong. Sometimes I wish, but I really like that I am whole, because there's something that you have to go through a long path of things to get to the point where you can understand that you're whole. You don't just get there. There's four or five different steps you've got to go through to get to that. And having got to that, it's really powerful. And I just think it's a great, powerful poem.
Right on. Right on. Yeah, that was a beautiful little piece. I really enjoyed it. So that brings us to me.
I put yours on the board.
Thank you very much for that. I see that. And this is called You Just Can't Tap Dance in the Sand. I know I've tried it. You can take me to the moon and back. You can take me by my hand. You can run with me in the rain or just be my man. You can run your fingers through my hair and by me always stand. You can hold me tight throughout the night, pick flowers that are grand. You can sing me a love song. Sing me a song and kiss my lips and always understand. You can write me a love letter, bring me breakfast in bed, and take me to far off lands. You can be my true love and I'll be yours, but you just can't tap dance in the sand. In poem.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I love the title, You Just Can't Tap Dance in the Sand. So true.
I tried it one night, I know.
And I'm so blown away by the length here. I was sitting back waiting for my Linda story, and you brought a brevity. That doesn't happen too often.
No.
Anyway. You can run your fingers through my hair and by me always stand. You can hold me tight throughout the night, pick me flowers that are grand. It's like a sweet little rhyme. What was the other? The ending there. You can be my true love and I'll be yours, but you just can't tap dance in the sand, which even in this little tiny brevity, you still ended it with that, which is kind of the moral of the story. You just can't. So
that's
you
right.
Can add in the morals or the reason for your poem since way back, because this one's a few years old,
yeah.
A couple years old.
Yeah.
Clever share.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Dad. The line, you just can't tap dance in the sand. It's a great hook line. It should be repeated. You should have that at the beginning too, I think. And also, when you have a line like that, this is just a suggestion. When you have a line like that, you can minimize that introduction, but you just can't. You could just say you cannot. Contractions in a hook line to me is it trips, not trips, but I think it feels better with you. Yeah, and so you could lose the button adjust. You cannot tap dance in the sand, because that's a great line.
Right. Thanks, Hatter. You're right.
And Mr. Slominick.
Well, I actually like the idea that there's something that can't ever happen, because it means everything else is more tangible, number one. And number two, it sort of adds an air of reality to things, because, you know, we all try things sometimes and they just don't bloody work. And it may not be tap dancing in the sand, it could be 25 other things. But there are a few poems, and even fewer relationship poems, that actually call out the fact that there are some things that just won't happen. And this is a very clever way of doing it.
Thank you. Thank you, AP.
Yeah, cool. Metaphor.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you the story about it. I was partying with my partner in Arizona. Excuse me. And we ran out of liquor, so I went to the store on my bike in the sand, and I fell over a number of times. And one time as I was getting up, I realized it was like I was tap dancing, trying to get back on this bike, but it wasn't going so well. So that's where I came up with, you just can't tap dance in the sand. You just can't do it.
Yeah.
And riding a bike is quite difficult as well. But anyway, I think that pretty much wraps up the poetry for tonight, unless anybody's got something they want to throw in.
Well, I don't think so.
I just want to shout out that Monday is the True Colors show, and I just put the link on the board.
On
a team of voices.
And I'd like to take this time to thank you all for coming tonight. Deb and AP and Hatter, thank you for hanging out with me. We'll try to get more of a clientele next week or next month on my show. I'll send out more invitations. But thank you for being here with me. Your poems were great, and I really enjoyed spending the time with you. So with that, I guess there's a song that winds up. What's that?
Some jokes. I was just teasing you about not wanting to hear another one. I think it's cute the way you throw them in through the show. Well done.
Oh. Thank you, sweetheart. All righty. So with that, I guess we're going to end the episode. Good night, everybody.
Bye, Linda.
Thanks, Linda.
Thank you.
Have fun.
Bye, Deb.
I'll continue here.